Namaste. Welcome to Freedom Chautari podcast. I am Nanumaya Khadka. Today, here we will be discussing about cyberspace and cybersecurity. Those are the issues related to increased use of technology. In Nepal too, I just viewed our Nepal Telecommunication Authority's report, which says internet penetration has almost reached to 88.93%, which is very high. And that's why I think cyberspace and cybersecurity, those are the most serious and to be discussed issues here in Nepal too. As we all know, with increasing use of technology, its misuse is also rampant, and more worrying is the trend to address those issues. Okay, so now let's listen to a series of a webinar which was organized by an organization based in United Kingdom, Global Partners Digital, which works to enable digital environment in line with the human rights. Here in today's episode, Ms. Sital Kumar from Global Partners Digital is talking about the UN discussion on responsible state behavior on cyberspace. Ms. Sital Kumar is the senior program lead at Global Partners Digital. So now let's listen to her on the first series of webinar.
Welcome to this first webinar. This recording follows the live delivery of the first webinar in this series on the UN discussions on responsible state behavior in cyberspace, an introductory course for civil society. The live first webinar was held on April 30th and offered the opportunity for interaction and questions and answers. This recording provides the same overview of material for your reference. As you can see, this first webinar is part of a series which will include, in the first part, an overview of the issues so far as they relate to the discussions at the UN on responsible state behavior in cyberspace. It will be followed by a second webinar on the current status of UN cyber discussions. We will then look at opportunities for civil society engagement. But today we're looking specifically at the story so far. And you may ask yourself, what story are we going to be talking about? This is a story about what should govern how states use ICTs or digital technologies in a way that maintains international peace and security. What are their responsibilities? What frameworks should govern their use? It is linked to other discussions about cybersecurity, but it is distinct in some ways. We're going to talk about how these discussions link to those other relevant discussions, but also discuss how they are distinct. As you can see on the slide, at our agenda, the basic terminology, which we'll be reviewing. We will then look at how these discussions relate to human rights. We'll look at what the UN First Committee, which is a committee that focuses on international peace and security, has considered these issues so far. And finally, we'll look at how these issues relate to other relevant discussions. As you can see on the screen, these are some of the terms that often are used in these discussions. But let me be clear, none of these terms have specific or agreed definitions. So they can be used or interpreted in different ways, but it is important that we have some shared definitions here, as these are terms that we'll hear a lot. When it comes to that term, state behavior in cyberspace, what we're talking about here is what states do and how, where, and why states use ICTs or digital technologies. So this may relate to their use of, for example, vulnerabilities or malware to conduct operations against other states for a variety of purposes. It could relate to attacks on infrastructure or data breaches that result from those operations. All of these things are things that states can do to each other. And there are many different examples as well, as I mentioned. of cyber operations, cyber threats. These could relate to espionage or the infiltration of systems for the accumulation of information. Could relate to attacks of infrastructure, as mentioned. But the point about the kind of cyber operations that we're discussing here is that states carry them out, or they employ third parties to carry them out on their behalf. We're going to look at next the impact on human rights of these issues. We often hear the expression that the internet wasn't built with security in mind. It was built to share information easily and quickly. As a result, there are a number of weaknesses which are inherent to the way the internet operates and to digital technologies. These are weaknesses that states can and do exploit. They might even engineer some of those weaknesses to achieve their objectives. We do live in a world where a lot of life is being digitized, and where we all rely on or impacted by the use of digital technologies. For that reason, a secure, stable, open internet is a prerequisite for human rights. If states act a certain way, for example, by hoarding vulnerabilities or weakening the supply chain, by using malware to conduct cyber attacks against national infrastructure, this can have an impact not only on the internet and on cybersecurity, but also on individuals. But also, the regulatory frameworks which are developed to ensure cybersecurity can either promote and protect human rights or can undermine them. For example, by introducing vague or disproportionate measures to address security issues. Moving on to the forum that we're looking at specifically, which is UNGA's first committee. As you can see on the slide, UNGA, or the UN General Assembly, is one of the six principal organs of the UN. Within the General Assembly, the first committee is the committee which considers international peace and security issues. In the late 1990s, there were concerns that the use of ICTs by states would lead to the destabilizing of relations between states, what's called escalation, and possibly to war and conflict. As a result, at the UN, the first committee has been discussing these issues about how states use ICTs since 1999. More specifically, what problems have these discussions been trying to solve? Well, there were a range of problems and gaps, perhaps, that these discussions have been trying to solve. For example, there was a lack of common understanding of threats, in particular, relating to cyberspace and the use of ICTs by states. There was a lack of understanding of what norms shape state behavior. There was a lack of understanding of the roles and responsibilities of states vis-a-vis each other and other stakeholders. There was also a lack of transparency leading to tension and potential escalation around how states were using ICTs. And there's a lack of regulatory frameworks for governing state behavior. However, there was, of course, international law, including international humanitarian and human rights law. However, there wasn't an understanding of how this relates to cyberspace. What does it restrict states from doing? What does it not restrict states from doing? There was also an understanding that states had different capacities, but didn't have a plan or an ability to shape or address that. So these are some of the issues that the discussions of the UN set out to try and address. So what has the UN done so far? Well, as you can see on the slide, every year it has passed a resolution asking states to submit their views on, for example, how they see cyber threats. It's also set up groups of governmental experts, closed groups of experts, to discuss these issues, and these groups of experts have in time developed a framework of responsible state behavior, which we will be coming on to. it's also set up open-ended working groups. Open-ended working groups are more open or open to all members of the UN, unlike the groups of governmental experts, to discuss these issues as well. So to summarize, within the first committee and within the UN General Assembly, the aim is to maintain international peace and security. However, there were concerns by the end of the 90s that states were using ICTs in a way that could undermine peace and security. It was acknowledged that states have responsibilities, therefore, to maintain peace and security, but not clarity or agreement on what those were. So if we look more closely at one of the processes, the groups of governmental experts that were set up to address these issues, this lack of clarity, and to come up with proposed recommendations to address that, we can see that the GGEs have specific characteristics. They've all been tasked with studying cyber threats or threats in cyberspace. And over time, they've developed a framework to deal with threats. As you can see on the slide, GGEs are closed groups of experts. They meet periodically with the aim to adopt a report. All six GGEs so far, actually there is currently a GGE as I record this, which is underway. The previous five GGEs all adopted a report. However, the fifth GGE didn't adopt a report. The reason is because of the disagreements, which we'll look at in more detail in the next webinar. In addition to the groups of governmental experts, in 2018, the UN General Assembly passed a resolution to establish an open-ended working group. The reason that both an open-ended working group and a group of governmental experts was established was a result of a disagreement on how to take forward these discussions within the UN. As mentioned, we'll come on to those disagreements in more detail next time. The first open-ended working group had a similar mandate to the group of governmental experts, that is to study threats in cyberspace and ways to deal with them. But unlike the group of governmental experts, the open-ended working group is open to all member states. It had opportunities for the engagement of civil society and other stakeholders, and it also had within its mandate the topic of regular institutional dialogue. That is, how these discussions should be carried out in the future in a regular and institutionalized way within the UN. Now, if we move on to relevant discussions elsewhere, we can see some relevant discussions on the slide relating to cybercrime, human rights, drone warfare with the use of autonomous weapons, and hybrid warfare. Taking the first one, cybercrime, discussions on cybercrime are related to these discussions on international peace and security within the first committee because they often involve actors using the same vulnerabilities that states use to get access to information, for example. However, they are distinct because they more specifically look at what non-state actors or criminal groupings are doing and seek to address that. There are a range of discussions happening which are relevant to discussions on cybercrime. For example, within the UN Third Committee, there is a process underway with the view to establishing a new global treaty on cybercrime. There are also regional forums, including, for example, within the African Union, the Malabo Convention that has been established to address cybercrime. The Budapest Convention provides a multilateral framework and an international one for addressing cybercrime as well. As mentioned, these discussions focus on what non-state actors and the actions of non-state actors. Whereas what's happening in the UN First Committee focuses on states and their behavior. Of course, the two are related, and that's why we often hear the term state-sponsored in these discussions when we hear of cyber attacks and cyber operations, because it is important to distinguish between what states do and what other non-state actors do in these cases. Looking at human rights, discussions on human rights are related because state behavior, both what states do and what they refrain from doing, has an impact on human rights. There are forums that focus on human rights, like at the global level, the Human Rights Council. There are, of course, regional and national bodies that are also tasked with ensuring human rights are upheld. However, what's different with the discussions happening at the UN, the first committee, so these discussions focus on the relationships of states to one another. However, as we've said, there are links because states have obligations to protect and uphold rights. The way threats are defined and the solutions that are developed to address those threats all have an impact on human rights. We will often hear in these discussions that international peace and security issues should be kept separate from human rights, as there are separate or distinct forums to address human rights. However, one of the roles of civil society, which we will come on to later, is to clarify these links between the discussions happening on how states behave towards one another, how they use ICTs and human rights. Finally, as you can see on this slide, discussions on how states use ICTs in conflict are also relevant. States will be engaged in situations of conflict or low-level conflict where they use ICTs. And this definitely impacts these discussions. However, within the discussions which I've just mentioned, the GGE and the OEWG, for example, the discussions do not relate solely to the use of ICTs in conflict. They're also looking at what states do in peacetime. In fact, that is the main objective of these discussions, is to discuss how states use ICTs in peacetime and their relationships with one another in order to ensure that these situations or these relationships do not escalate into one of war and conflict. At the UN, there are discussions happening on the use of artificial intelligence, like drones in warfare, lethal autonomous weapons, which are relevant, but these are again distinct discussions. So to summarize, the discussions on responsible state behavior in cyberspace at the UN First Committee are about how states use ICTs in relationship to one another, how they perceive threats and how they address them. They do have an impact on human rights because the way states behave has an impact on individuals, either in their actions or in what they refrain from doing. They are linked to other discussions, for example, those on cybercrime, on the use of lethal autonomous weapons in conflict, and on human rights. But unlike those discussions, they focus on maintaining international peace and security and on the roles and responsibilities of states in particular.
Okay, on this first webinar, Ms. Sital Kumar provided an overview on various discussions at UN's First Committee related to cyberspace and their relations to human rights. Now, let's listen to her discussions on the processes at UN First Committee, more specifically about the working groups and the group of experts.
Hello, and welcome to webinar 2 in the first part of this series, UN Discussions on Responsible State Behavior in Cyberspace, an introductory course for civil society. This time, we'll be looking at the processes at the UN First Committee relevant to cyber and their current status. As you can see on the slide, we'll be looking more specifically at the open-ended working group on ICTs and the group of governmental experts. These are the two main processes at the UN First Committee relating to cyber. We'll be looking at areas of agreement among member states when it comes to the issues discussed, areas of disagreement, the impact of disagreements, both the open-ended working group and the group of governmental experts at the UN First Committee have in their mandates, the identification of threats in cyberspace, and the development of rules, norms, and principles of responsible behavior of states. As we mentioned last time, these discussions have been underway for around 20 years at the UN First Committee. And in that time, member states have been able to agree on some areas. For example, they do agree that ICTs can be used in ways that are inconsistent with aims of maintaining international peace and security. They identified threats to critical infrastructure as key cyber threats. They've also agreed that threats impact different groups of people, including vulnerable groups, for example, and women, differently. They've agreed that there's an increase in cyber threats and incidents, and that cooperative measures are required to address these threats. They also agreed that international law applies in cyberspace, but so far, they haven't been able to agree how international law applies, and they haven't been able to agree whether all bodies of international law, including international humanitarian law and international human rights law, apply in cyberspace. As mentioned, in the live delivery of the webinar, an exercise was carried out. We will not be carrying that out for this recording. So as you can see on the screen, and as mentioned, there are areas of disagreement among states. These pertain to how international law applies in cyberspace, including key concepts of international law, like the application of the concept of self-defense. There's also disagreement as to whether the norms adopted in the group of governmental experts reports, in particular, as part of a framework called the Responsible State Behavior Framework, are sufficient, or whether new norms need to be adopted. Norms are voluntary measures. States are encouraged to adopt and implement in order to promote responsible state behavior in cyberspace. There's also disagreement as to whether a binding regulatory framework, namely a global treaty for cyberspace, is required. And member states disagree about the role of civil society and of industry vis-a-vis these issues, and the role of member states in these discussions as well. As mentioned, these are the key areas of disagreement. Mainly, countries do agree that the measures that have already been adopted, including the Responsible State Behavior Framework, should be implemented. But these areas of disagreement continue to shape the discussions at the UN First Committee. As you can see on the slide, the open-ended working group adopted a report in March of 2021, which reaffirms the Responsible State Behavior Framework that had previously been developed by the group of governmental experts. In addition, they have developed or adopted in the open-ended working group report that was adopted in March 2021, a set of capacity building principles to underpin capacity building efforts. There are also a range of other recommendations in the report which are voluntary, such as, for example, encouraging states to share their views on the application of international law in cyberspace. In addition, the open-ended working group report makes reference to a program of action in order to institutionalize regular dialogue on these issues within the First Committee. This is a proposal that has been put forward by a number of states and spearheaded by the government of France. And it is simply mentioned in the report as an area or as an idea to be discussed further. In addition, a new open-ended working group has been set up. A resolution was passed last year to set up this working group, and its organizational meeting has taken place in June 2021. It intends to set up thematic subgroups for each area of the mandate and to continue discussions until 2025. The group of governmental experts at the time of this recording had agreed a report and adopted it by consensus. It is awaiting publication. As you can see on the slide, at the time of the live delivery of this webinar, the GGE was still wrapping up. By the time of the delivery of this recording, the group of governmental experts had agreed a report, which includes norms guidance. So it further elaborates the norms included in this responsible state behavior framework adopted previously. It reaffirms that framework and builds on it. So that is the current status of discussions at the UN. There is a proposal for a program of action. There is a new open-ended working group. And there is also the adoption of two reports, one of the previous open-ended working group and one of a group of governmental experts. As you can see on the slide, to summarize, there are basic areas of agreement and disagreement among member states in the first committee, in the processes relevant to responsible state behavior in cyberspace, namely the role of stakeholders. Member states do not agree on whether civil society and industry have an important role to play. Some disagree that civil society and industry have a role to play. They disagree on the application of international humanitarian law in particular in cyberspace, as well as other areas of international law. They disagree on whether binding treaty is required for cyberspace or whether the existing framework, the responsible state behavior framework, is sufficient and needs to be implemented. These discussions have been shaped by these disagreements, which generally take place along geopolitical or political lines, and they have also influenced the outcomes. Attempts to progress these discussions will continue via the new open-ended working group, which has a mandate until 2025, possibly a new program of action, which may be passed or instituted via a resolution at the UN General Assembly, either this year or next, and possibly even another resolution setting up another group of governmental experts or potentially another process. Thank you very much for listening.
Okay, with this we have come to an end of today's episode of Freedom Chowdhury podcast. I hope this episode was useful for you to learn on the various aspects of cyberspace. So with this, we would like to sign out of Freedom Chowdhury podcast. Please drop your constructive feedback to our Gmail freedomforum2005@gmail.com and stay safe. Bye-bye.